There is something about being human that is more than just about being alive, right? There's a quote by the famous writer Anonymous. I don't know if you've heard of him or her. Has a lot of good content out there, but Anonymous said, it's a long journey between human being and being human. And I think we get that. I think we sort of get that because being human is about the honesty within all of us, isn't it? Something honest about saying, I'm just human. And I'm deeply convinced that what we want to do and what we want to talk about are the things that matter most, right? We want to talk about those things. We want to talk about what our struggles are, what our pain is. We want to talk about what inspires us. We want to hear stories. We want to talk about dreams. That's what we want to do with our life. We want to do things that are about being human. But instead, what happens is we start really more talking about the things that don't matter as much. Things like the weather, right? Things like the latest movie we saw, or maybe the latest news story, perhaps sports, like some big event that's happening, right? As in today, right? There's the Super Bowl that's happening today. A lot of us will talk about it. And we're all probably on the same page when we think about even that. We're like, kind of overwhelmed by the fact that a company would spend $5 million on a 30-second ad tonight. But we marvel at it and we watch. And here's what I find interesting about myself. What I'll find interesting is that I will make the time. I'm a football fan, but I'm not necessarily I don't care too much about who wins tonight. And I will find time, though, to make sure I watch this game. In terms of something that I don't even care about that much, but I will struggle this week to give the times that I care about very much. That's real, right? That's human. We give ourselves to things that we don't care about that much, and we struggle to give ourselves to the things we care about very much. I want to start with a thought, and we'll just put it up here, and it's simply this. One of the primary human struggles is being deeply convinced that what we want is to talk about and do the things that matter most. But in reality, we end up doing and talking about things that matter much less. Are you with me? Now, this is where we're starting. This is what it means to be human. This is what it means to be real about it. To be real is we're all in this thing together. And being real about it is we care about a lot of things that matter, but we do not very many things that truly matter. The center of the Christian faith is not about a God who's disconnected from us. It's not about a God who will beam us up someday. It's about a God who came in human flesh, in the human. It came as a human to lead us into our full humanity. So to be true to the message of Jesus is to talk about things that are very human. So if you're actually true to this, you're hoping that this idea of being human is actually something that is connected to us, not disconnected. So anyway, this next few weeks, we're going to be talking about a few subjects that all of us face as humans. Next week, Caleb Kinney will be teaching, which I'm excited about. He'll be talking about human love and the things we do and don't do with it, its limits, its possibilities. The week after that, I'll be talking about joy and happiness, which, believe it or not, I've never done a message fully dedicated to that subject, which may have some sort of psychological undercurrent about my own happiness in life. I'm not real sure. But I'm excited about it because it's something we all struggle with. And then the week after that, the last week of this month, my friend Adam Barnett, who some of you know, he's going to be teaching here. Adam and I worked together for years at Journey. He's a great friend, great pastor, great teacher. He's going to be teaching on whatever he wants to talk about when it comes to being human. And so he will be here last week. And so we're going to cover some serious ground. We're not going to cover everything, what it means to be human, of course, and we may cover something else. We'll just see how it goes. But let's get to today, though, right? What are we going to talk about? I want to talk about the issue of time. I want to talk about busyness. Oh, good. I want to talk about rest. Because here's the thing about life and time. Life and time are intrinsically linked. They cannot be separated from one another. Your life and your time, they have a relationship. And they always seem to go together. And the thing about our life and being human is we have struggles in life, and oftentimes we make those struggles about something else other than the struggle. Do you know what I mean? So that we have a problem that we are going through, and yet we won't really admit that problem is the problem. We'll try and make it something else. Maybe you are spiritually dry. Maybe you're far from God. Maybe you're constantly busy and exhausted. Maybe you're not filled with joy right now every day. Maybe you're not doing what you really care about, but you find yourself doing all sorts of other things. Maybe you don't have enough fun. Maybe you're always on the run, not like from the law, but running from one thing to the next. Maybe you're constantly working. Okay, I just said a few things there and paused intentionally to make sure that you caught it. Work, though, is a serious issue. I read an article about work and what we're doing here in the U.S. in ABC News. Let me just read this to you. It says, not only are Americans working longer hours than at any time since statistics have been kept, but now they're working longer than anyone else in the industrialized world. And while workers in other countries have been seeing their hours cut back by legislation focused on preventing work from infringing on private life, Americans have been going the other direction. Wouldn't that be nice for our Congress to say, you know what? It's a law. You can only work 40 hours a week. Becoming a workaholic, which, by the way, I don't really like that term, but I say it because we know what that means, is a strange thing, because we can be respected and we can be proud of the hard work we put in. Can't we? Like, we can feel good about it, and we can sometimes even feel good about posting a 50, 60, 70-hour work week. And all the while, our flesh is kind of filling with pride, but our souls are being ruined in the process. So the nail in the head for us is a complete disrespect for what our souls are saying. And we're saying, it's not a big deal, we'll get it, we'll figure it out, we'll catch up, we'll get things right, it's just this, it's just that. And we keep doing what this video did, right? And we just keep kind of making it about something else. And the real truth of the matter is we're not dealing with what our souls are saying to us. Because our souls are hungry for rest, they're hungry for quiet, they're hungry for spiritual nourishment, for space, for time enjoying life, not just working. So I have here, as you guys can probably have seen, what is commonly known as a calendar. It's a big one. And here's the thing. Like I said, your life and time are intrinsically linked. And I don't know how many of you guys live on a calendar. Anybody with me, you should nod your head if you're like, a calendar is a big deal to you. You need a calendar to keep your life organized. And you need to keep or time organized, right? Because you need to know what you can say yes to, what you can say no to, how much you can fit in, how much you can be efficient and productive with. And so we have a calendar. And if it doesn't make the calendar, what? It's probably not happening or important. It's probably not going to happen if it's not on here. And so if you don't make the calendar in someone's life, you're probably not going to be a part of their life very much. And for some of us, we go to the extreme of this. And you know what? These are a really good thing. And I calendar my life all the time. So I'm not against calendars. That's not the problem. My point in this is most of us have calendars that are so full that there's very little space for anything in them, much less rest, much less devotion to God. And so we have these calendars that are full, and we try and put as much as we can in them. And sometimes it's very important to be intentional and to put people on the calendar that you need. This is not, we're not against time. We're not against busyness. We're not against calendaring today, just so you know. Jesus never modeled a life that wasn't busy. He modeled a life that chased after the Lord and his will, though. And there's a difference between busy where God is absent and busy where God is present. And so when I look at this, though, and I go, okay, what about my life do I find myself doing? What do I find myself scheduling and not scheduling? Because we're all looking to find the time to have a life, aren't we? And time seems to slip by so quickly, and before you know it, another week, another month, another year has passed. And so what do parents say? What do parents say, you know, when they get a little older, they're like, where's the time gone? Well, I can remember when they were just in diapers, but now they're graduating college. Isn't that how parents talk? That's what they say, right? And what do you say? What do you say about your exercise or the hobbies or the activities you like? What do you say? You say, oh, if I only had the time to do that. If I want to hang out with my friends, if I only had the time to hang out with them. Oh, I wish we could do that. I don't have the time. It's just a really, really busy season right now. This is what we say. What do you say? What's the conversation when you come up to somebody and you say, hey, how's it going? How's work going? What do we say typically? Oh, it's going good, but man, it's a busy season. So busy. It's just crazy. Work's crazy. That's what we say. And you know what? I say it too. I say it all the time. And I'm going to catch myself. And I'm going, I mean, it is what I make it. And I ask myself, okay, can time just slow down? Does anybody want time to slow down? Well, just a little thing here. Time will not slow down. But maybe it is you that need to slow down. That's a little Chinese parable that I made up. How many of you say yes to things that you wish you never said yes to? Raise your hand. How many of you guys say no to things that you wish you would have said yes to? Of course, we all do that. Our life and time are intrinsically linked. And until we understand that life and that there is a rhythm in life and with time that God created, until we understand that, we will struggle with being overwhelmed, busy, stressed out. We will be multitaskers. We will give ourselves to the wrong things, and we will find ourselves not giving our things to the things that really truly matter to us. I want to read a passage to you. Most of you are likely familiar with it. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which Genesis, the very first chapters of Genesis, it's all about being human. Verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all of their vast array. Pause. That's a big deal. Way to go, God. Verse 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So there is a rhythm that God created in creation for rest. Like God created rest as part of his creation. And I think we know that, and I think it's kind of like, these are one of these, when I thought about doing this message, it's one of those that I'm like, everybody's heard this. Everybody knows this. Everybody's like familiar with this. But I'm going, but it's the nail in our head. It's the thing that we just won't acknowledge how big of a deal it is. It's still there. And so God creates this, and what does he later call it? He calls it Sabbath, right? He calls it Sabbath, in which he required his people, the Israelites, to set aside one day a week in which they wouldn't work. And so he did this, and he created this rhythm to rest and work. And God considers rest essential to being human. He considers rest and play and enjoyment part of who you're actually supposed to be. And I'm sure most of you, if I was going to ask you, and I won't make you admit it now, even though, because I know the truth, most of you would say you're busy. And if you would say, well, I'm not really that busy, you've had busy seasons. And I want to ask then the follow-up question of that. Do you feel like that busyness is affecting your spiritual life? And I think for most of us, we would say, yeah. One of the great illusions of our day is that hurry will actually create more time. That's one of the great illusions, but hurry doesn't actually create more time. Hurry creates more hurry. I want to ask you another question. Our culture has said something about time, and it is a very common statement, and some of you might get it right off the bat, but time is what? Time is money, isn't it? That's what you've heard a lot of people say. And time becomes a commodity. It becomes something that we have to have and control, like anything else that would be related to money. And so anything that we, our time, our clock, our calendar, they all become something that in some weird way, we actually worship, we submit to. We will purchase anything that promises to help us hurry up. I'll show you a picture of a logo that I'm sure you will recognize. Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime is one of the best-selling services in the United States. It's a great service. It has a lot of things that come with it. But the primary reason people purchase this, do you know why? Two-day shipping. Because you don't want to wait 3 to 5 business days or 7 to 10 UPS ground days, right? I mean, we don't want that. Two-day shipping is worth $100 a year to us. And so we buy it. And we're addicted to fast food, not because it's good food, but because it's fast food. And we can put our whole family in the car, go through the drive-thru, eat like with our family in the car on the way to the next event. This is what we do. Hurry is one of the great enemies of our spiritual life. If you're a note taker, write that down because I really believe this. Hurry is one of the great enemies of the spiritual life. Hurry can essentially rob our souls, destroy our souls. And I don't know if in the midst of your busy life, you can feel the weight of your soul. The Hebrews had a term. It was called kavod, K-A-V-O-D. And kavod was a term used in the business world to measure weights on a scale. And so during a business transaction, they would say kavod would be this word that would measure the scales to make sure the business transaction was honest. But over time, the word actually kind of transitioned from that meaning into more of a figurative meaning of the word weight. And you guys know what I mean by this. Because sometimes you would say, hey, that's really heavy. There's a lot of weight to that. And there's no physical weight, but we feel it, right? It's figurative. And so we feel the weight of life on us sometimes. And I think we know this about weight. The heaviest things cannot be measured. And some of you are carrying serious weight right now. And you feel it on you. And sometimes it's related to your busyness and your exhaustion. Sometimes it's related to other things. But we feel this weight, and a lot of it's our souls are crying out for something. They're crying out for something that we're not paying attention to. It's probably why we really, really resonate with one of Jesus' statements. It's probably one of his most, you know, everybody loves the statement. Stephen even referenced it when we were in worship. It comes out of Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. And he says this statement, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened." All of you who are tired, all of you who have the weight of something on your life, he says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart," which, by the way, is an amazing, beautiful statement. "For I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That is some really good news right there. And there's no wonder that a lot of us really resonate with this scripture because it's like light, easy, rest. We're like, give me some of that, Jesus. And I believe what we're up against is that our soul, our spirit is being neglected. It's being ignored. And essentially, most of us are coasting on spiritual fumes, if you will. Anybody ever ran out of gas? I ran out twice, which is not, it's like low moments in my life. And both times because I wasn't even paying attention. But I bet if I asked you, where are you at on your fuel gauge in your life? Are you in an eighth of a tank? Are you empty? Are you half? Where are you at? If you were going to look at your spiritual life on a gauge, a lot of us are just coasting on spiritual fumes. We take care of every other need first, don't we? We take care of our physical needs. We take care of our needs that our house has. We take care of every need before our soul needs. Because every other need seems more important and more pressing and more needed, and we neglect what's really happening within us and what it really truly means to be human. And so we make sure everything else is taken care of before we look within ourselves and ask ourselves, what do we need? We'll make sure that person is texted back or emailed back because that's the you know, proper etiquette to get back to them as soon as possible. We make sure everybody is taken care of, not just their own needs, but whatever it is that they want before we take care of ourselves. And we live these hurried lives. We're more attentive to this thing, to our phones, than we are to our hearts. I have a few signs for you if you're living a hurried life. I'll put these on the screen. A life in which you're saying yes to the wrong things and no to the right things, meaning you're saying yes to the things you should be saying no to. All right, so there's a few little ideas. Practical, okay, and this might help you a little bit. Maybe you're living a hurried life. The first one is a nagging sense that there's not enough time. If you feel that all the time, anybody feel this? You feel like there's a nagging sense of not enough time. You can never really get your to-do list done. You're always kind of behind. In the 1960s, there's a story I read. In the 1960s, a group of futurists went to Congress, to our Congress in the United States, and they predicted by the year 1985, so 30 years ago, they predicted by the year 1985 that people would only be working 22 hours a week and 27 weeks out of the year. They said because of the advances in technology and efficiency, people just won't have to work as much. And the biggest problem that the U.S. is facing when they're concerning the future is that people will have too much spare time. How's the spare time thing going for us these days, right? They really nailed that one. A nagging sense that there's not enough time. The second one, a lack of meaning or depth or joy in life. What I mean by that is when we're too busy to keep up with ourselves, we struggle to find meaning. The more and more we do, the less meaning and significance we find in what we're doing. Because last week feels like a blur. We don't even remember what we did. Therefore, there's not a lot of significance in what we're doing because we're just getting through the weeks. The third one, a lack of compassion. Now, I'm not saying you don't have compassion on this one. I'm saying you don't do compassion. When we're too busy to get our own calendar taken care of, we struggle to think about how we can really actually help others. And so what we end up doing is nothing. We believe it matters, but we find ourselves actually not doing something we believe in very much. The fourth one, a lack of grace. Seems similar, but a little different. When I'm busy, when I'm stressed, guess who feels it? My family does, because you know what I quit doing? I quit extending grace and love to them, and they start getting my busyness and my stress. Anybody become irritated when they get busy? You come short with people? And so what happens is when we're living a hurried life, we lack grace. And we're not showing grace to others. We're just blowing through relationships. We're getting done what we got to get done. We're being short with our family and the people we love the most because they don't understand how busy we are. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? That's not what we say, right? Like, this is a really stressful time for me. We can laugh at ourselves because it's so true. And then the fifth one is a stagnant relationship with God. A hurried life will be accompanied by most, if not all, of these things. If you're overly busy or overly hurried, you're gonna be suffering in your relationship with Christ. And there are plenty of reasons why our soul is hungry. I want to turn over to Psalm chapter 23. This is probably one of the most well-known pieces of literature in the entire world, not just scripture. And I've taught from Psalm 23 maybe two or three times over the last couple of years, because I absolutely love this chapter. I feel like there's so many things you can pull from it. And really over the last 10 years of my life, though, the very first three verses of this chapter have been some of the most significant verses for me in my relationship with God. They've just been huge, and I come back to them, I feel like, all the time. And I'll just read it to you, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. We've been talking a lot about our soul today, haven't we? He restores my soul. This is what's needed. Our souls need to be restored. The time crunch we are under is robbing us. And we can never forget that we have an enemy in this life. You guys know that. We know that. There's an enemy in our life, and he's not going to be able to, he might not be able to take you out. He may not be able to actually make you quit loving God, but if he can make you so busy and so distracted to where you won't actually do what you feel like you need to be doing, don't you think he's going to do that? That's what he's going to do. Psalm 23 gives us something really good. David, a shepherd himself, has this very real, very authentic, very, if you will, human moment right here. It's believed that he wrote these words later in his life, so he's looking back at his life, and he's thinking about all that he's done. And he begins with this beautiful sentence. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And again, some of you know this, but I just want to make sure we remember this. Calling the Lord his shepherd is significant. David had been a shepherd in his younger life. He understood the role of a shepherd in the life of a sheep. He got it more than most people get it. Because the shepherd was everything. He was the protector. He was the provider. He was the guide. Every sheep was either branded or tagged with some sort of identity for that sheep to the shepherd. He understood to say, "He's my shepherd," meant a lot. The depth of this short line is staggering. Because sheep left by themselves will do some of the craziest, dumbest things you've ever seen. They'll walk off a cliff. They'll fall into a raging river. They'll starve themselves without the guidance of a sheep. And it sounds a little bit like us, because I feel like sometimes we are literally starving ourselves for what we really need. He goes on and he says, after he says this beautiful line, "The Lord is my shepherd," he says, "I shall not want." And this line is striking as well, because we are told to want all the time. It's largely what keeps us busy, by wanting more. It's what keeps us going and going. Whether it be wanting new things, wanting to excel and get better at something. Because advertising, the American dream, competitive work environments, they all tell you to want more. What if we could rest from wanting? He goes on, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." And I believe this one's specifically important for us today. The shepherd leads us in this particular passage. The shepherd leads the sheep to lie down, to quit moving, to quit doing activity, to quit working. And let me just say this about rest. Rest isn't lazy. Sloth is lazy. And what sloth is when you actually don't do what you're supposed to do. Rest is something you're supposed to do. And so, have you ever felt guilty for resting? Come on. You know what I mean? You're like, "I'm not doing anything, and I feel kind of weird about it." And somebody says, "Hey, what'd you do today?" And you're like, "Nothing." And you feel weird about it. There's like one guy nodding his head. Nobody else feels guilty at times when you actually don't do anything. And here's the thing. Sloth is different than rest. Lazy is different than rest. And we got to know that, because rest is actually something God put into creation. God has a rhythm in life. We act like he doesn't. And if we had the time to unpack this completely, we would. But I mentioned it earlier. He created this Sabbath. And Sabbath was supposed to do three things. Sabbath was supposed to show the world and set you apart among the world as God's people. Can you imagine in a society, nobody else took days off, but there's this one group of people that always seemed to take this one day off a week. It sets you apart as God's people. It was also a day that gave you rest. There's a reason he created it, because your body needs it. He created you to need it. He wants you to rest and to play and to enjoy life. And then the third thing he did for it was a day that was supposed to be devoted to God, to grow your devotion and your love to God. Those are the three reasons that he created Sabbath. And I'm not saying, and things are different now. And if you want to talk about how God's design was, God not just only didn't design the one day a week that he put into rest, but he also designed things annually in which the people of God would come together for times of celebration, times of feasting. And he did this, and we don't live under the same sort of guide anymore. That's all Old Testament. There's some things that we don't do anymore. However, the principles of rest and feasting and celebrating are all things that are supposed to be part of the rhythm of life. And the truth is that most of us don't live at all within that, intentionally seeking that to be part of our everyday life. So the sheep, they actually struggle to lie down. In fact, real sheep are very timid, and they won't lie down if there's anything that makes them uncomfortable. And the only way that a sheep will lie down to rest is when the shepherd is nearby and they have the presence of the shepherd with them. That's when a sheep will actually rest. And I'm just saying, if God's far from us, we're going to have a hard time truly resting. The next one, he leads me beside quiet waters, which to me, this is very related. I've always relate noise and busyness together. We live in a very noisy, filled life. Not just audio noise, but visual noise. There's all sorts of noise all over the place. And a lot of us, we always need to have noise going. We gotta have the TV on, we gotta have music going, we gotta have, you know, if once we get a free moment, we gotta pull up the phone, we gotta check something out, we gotta look online, we gotta look at social media, whatever it is we gotta do. We gotta have some noise happening. We can't just find stillness and quiet in our life. And it just keeps going. And creating real and authentic space for your soul means turning off the noise for an extended period of time so you can actually hear the voice of God. Could you imagine this week? Took a whole week. Maybe you do this often. Maybe you already do it. Take a week and you just drive in silence. Just let that be. Can you imagine one night, maybe in a whole day, turn your phone off. Turn all the noise makers in your life off and just give yourself a day noise-free. And sometimes that means literally turning things off. What if you started your day by just saying, God, give me ears to hear today? And you started that and you really meant it and you really tried to listen throughout the day. And the last thing he says is, he restores my soul. David understood that resting and quiet in his life was essential to the restoration of his own soul. You and I know this, but it's like the dumb video, once again. It's about the nail in our head, and we don't want to make it about that. We want to make it about something else. And I just want to say that for many of us, the busyness that we're under, the things that we're doing in life, that is the issue. That's the thing that's messing up your soul. That's the weight you're feeling because you're not dealing with what you need to deal with. Because here's what happens when our souls are malnourished, when our souls are tired, it ends up, we become people who are too tired to love, who have nothing left to give. We become people who are always rushed, always behind, indecisive, superficial. You will find your heart growing smaller, your spirit withering, your sense of joy evaporating, and your ability to experience the awe and wonder of God in life disappearing. So today is a little bit intended to be, you know, a realistic look at our schedules and our time, because when I thought about being human, and I thought about what we deal with in life, the things we do and don't do, it all began with my rhythm, the things that I do day in and day out, and where am I messed up? Where's my rhythm out of whack? Because here's the thing, the shepherd is waiting. The shepherd wants to know. He wants to know your pain. He wants to know your struggle. He also wants to say, I'm here. I'm here for you. I desire to guide you. I care for you. He wants to restore your soul. So three practical things this week. I couldn't get around to just figure out how to just do this practically today, because this is kind of a practical message. But I just want to encourage you, and I'm saying this week, but I'm also saying this is stuff you could do all the time. But this week, will you just find a way to rest? And if you're saying, I'm already doing this, I'm good with this, great. For the other 99% of us, will you find a way to rest this week? You can do it by creating some space in your life, a night at home. The second one, say yes to something that matters most to you and say no to something that just creates more busyness. Some of you really need to hear this. How many of you say yes to way too much? Come on. Now I know who to ask when I need something. Just kidding. Say yes to something that matters to you. Because remember what we said at the very beginning. One of the great human struggles is that people really, really want to talk about and do the things that matter most to them. But in reality, what happens is they end up talking and doing things that matter much less than that. And I'm saying, say yes to something that matters to you this week. Give yourself permission to do that thing that you continue to procrastinate on and continue to not do. Something that you feel you deeply believe in. Remember the whole compassion thing? Maybe that's something you're bursting to just want to do something, but you never give yourself the time to do it. Do it. Say yes to something that you care about. And say no to something that just creates more busyness. One of the great challenges that I'm learning is when I have to say no to someone. That's hard to do. Say, I'm sorry. I got a text yesterday inviting me to something that I just really don't want to do, and I just know it's just going to be busyness. And I'm trying to figure out right now, how do I say no and be nice and be graceful? Because you know what? Just because it's happening in the world doesn't mean I have to be a part of it. Just because someone invited me doesn't mean it's really what I'm supposed to be doing. And then the third one, turn down the noise. I just really encourage you on this one. This one's the most easy, practical thing to do. I've done it, and that's why I keep saying I've done it many, many times. You just drive in silence, and not just for like, oh, I got a 3-minute commute here, I'll turn the radio off. No, like for a week, just say, I'm driving in silence. I'm not gonna get on the phone. I'm using this time to just let it be still. Maybe this week, go sit somewhere for an hour, 30 minutes, whatever. Just sit silently and listen. And you're like, this is all kind of, you know, it is. You just need to create space in your life. You need to create rest. You need to create moments of silence and stillness. It's part of the rhythm that God created. And I want to say this. You know, one of the great temptations of the spiritual life is to believe that if it were a different, once you're in a different season, it will get better. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever said, I just need to get over this hump. I just need to get past this month. Oh, next month is like easy peasy, green pastures. Listen, one, my experience says, usually that's not true. Sometimes it's true. But one season just leads into another busy season. Typically, someone said to me this morning, busy is the new norm, and it's very true. And here's the thing, though. Don't believe the temptation that you just got to get over the hump, get to the next season, because your spiritual formation and your soul care must happen in every season of your life. It doesn't matter if you're busy or not. So you can be incredibly busy, but it doesn't mean that you don't have to, you can put it off and wait. This isn't like a painting project. I'll do that when I have more time. No, no, no. Every season, no matter if you're crazy busy or if you're, you know, static and smooth, the same devotional Lord applies. Matthew 13, Jesus shares a parable about something. I'm about done. He shares a parable about something, and he says someone finds a treasure, and the treasure was a pearl, and the pearl was such a great treasure that the person wanted to do anything he could do to have it. So he sold all of his possessions to go find and buy that pearl, that treasure. Of course, Jesus compares this to the kingdom of God. Your life, your heart should be just like that. You would do anything to have that treasure, right? This is what Jesus says. The kingdom of God is worth giving everything up for. And I just want to say this. We must never forfeit what is eternal for what is temporal. And see, here's the thing about our calendars. Is we often take our calendars more seriously than we do eternity. And what really has become our pearl, our treasure, is our time. Because time is money, time is a commodity, and we worship at the feet of time. And we're constantly worried about our time, managing our time, giving time to our time. And I'm wondering, have I made my pearl and my treasure the wrong thing? My busyness, my schedule. I'll read this and I really will close. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. And this is talking about the Sabbath, but of course, the Sabbath can be synonymous with rest and space in your life and a rhythm of rest and work. If you watch your step on the Sabbath, if you don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, If you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you will be free to enjoy God. Oh, I like that. I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. God created a rhythm of rest and quiet. It's like he knows us or something and what we need. Let's pray together. God, we pray that as we finish a message that really does hit, I know, all of us at some level. I know that this is something we deal with, just to find the time to do the things that matter to us and the things that we believe in, and the time to fill our souls up, Father. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to every one of us in ways that we can take the steps, small steps, maybe big steps, necessary to just be more intentional about this in our life.